The time is now.
My voice.
Your voice.
Our voice.
We are the Purple Royale Podcast.
Warm for the trans nation.
What up, how are you doing, people? This is your girl, Abby, and welcome to the first ever episode of the Pepper Royale Podcast, a podcast where we talk about trans issues, and we also talk about issues to do with gender non-conforming individuals. So just a brief introduction on what transgender means. Transgender is basically someone whose gender is not in sync with the sexual organs that they were assigned at birth. That's when you find someone was assigned female at birth but choosing to self-identify as a man, and someone who was assigned male at birth choosing to self-identify as a woman. Most of this will just make sense in our podcast. And then there's also the third group, gender non-conforming individuals. These are individuals who choose to not identify as either male or female, but prefer to be referred to as they. So in today's podcast, today's episode, we're basically going to be focusing on an introduction on trans issues, what it means to be trans, what it means to be a trans living in Zimbabwe, and basically what we can do to assist trans people. And to kickstart today's show is our interview with two trans individuals. And joining me today is a trans man and a trans woman who are going to be taking us through a journey of enlightenment, where after which we're supposed to be able to understand what exactly it means to be a trans man and what exactly it means to be a trans woman. Before we get into that, I'll just let our guests introduce themselves.
Hi everyone, thank you so much to the Pepper Royale podcast team for inviting me to this interview. My name is Aubrey Alessandra Bree Chacha, a trans woman from Harare, Zimbabwe.
Hi everyone, my name is Andrew Ocean, a trans man from Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much guys for joining us today. So to kickstart the session, I'll first ask Bree to explain to us, to quickly explain to us what exactly it means to be a trans woman and what it means to be a trans woman living in Zimbabwe.
Great, thanks so much Abby for that. Wow, what a tough question. I mean, it's a question which I believe a lot of Zimbabweans also want to hear. So let's just dive right into it, can't we?
Sure thing.
So you find that a trans woman, it's someone who was born with male genitalia but identifies as female. Like in my case, I was born with male genitalia, but the way I express myself, the way I feel, and even some of my physical characteristics resemble a woman. In other words, a trans woman is typically a woman born in a man's body. Yes, it does happen, viewers, and fortunately or unfortunately, there are even some scientific evidences which show that this exists. Now, coming back to the next tough question, what is it like being a trans woman living in Zimbabwe? I would say it's still an uphill task. Why? Because you find that our families, relatives, communities we come from, the education sector, private sector, government, even the health sector, do not understand us and do not understand our existence. And that brings about a lot of stigma, a lot of discrimination, and we feel that definitely a lot needs to be done because we are human just like anybody else.
That's a very enlightening explanation. Thank you so much, Aubrey, for that. And we'll move on to Andre. Quickly explain to us what exactly does it mean to be a what exactly does trans men mean, and what it means being a trans man living in Zimbabwe.
Okay, so definition of trans man according to the GDX is a person who was assigned to female genitalia at birth but identifies as a male person. And what it means for me to be a trans man in Zimbabwe, what I can actually say is that it's tough being a trans man in Zimbabwe because 70% of Zimbabweans, they identify as Christians, and their basis as Christians denounces any persons who identifies as transgender. So living in such a country where already the religious sector is against you, it's kind of very difficult. And as well as also considering that traditional leaders and the legislation, they are also against transgender persons. So there are many at times issues around stigma, discrimination, harassment, even by the police themselves. So to say that being a trans man in Zimbabwe is easy, I would be telling a lie.
Okay, interesting insights there. And I'm not saying, from what both of you are saying, right, the lack of understanding and the lack of information is causing so many problems, such as stigma, discrimination in most sectors, right? So I actually wanted to know, in your day-to-day life, when you're applying for jobs or when you're going to school, how exactly do you deal with such a scenario? Do you go to an interview as a woman? Do you go to an interview as a man? How do you deal with such a situation?
So I would say that it is very difficult, I would say, because our birth certificates or our legal documentation only states, in my case, that I'm male because of the male genitalia, but it does not look at the over 60% of my characteristics, even my physical attributes, which identify as female. And so you find that even if I'm to go, say, to an interview, or even if I am to go to school, people look at me and go like, is this a man, is this a woman? Yes, on a birth certificate, on an ID, it says male, but the way she acts, the way she looks, the way she identifies, it's female. So how do we relate to her? Definitely difficult.
Okay. So how exactly do you tackle such problems? Like a scenario where people are seeing your documents and they clearly say that you are a girl or you're a woman. How exactly do you deal with such a scenario? Like you look male, you dress male. So how do you deal with a situation where people start asking questions?
So normally when people start asking questions, there are issues that arises, issues to do with authenticity of my papers, and also issues to do with maybe they would be thinking that maybe I'm fraudulent or something. I want to share a scenario of what happened when I was in college. I wanted to run for the university presidency, but I could not because they gave me a restriction that if I wanted to do a campaign, I had to wear a dress and heels. That is something that I could not do, even if I don't know how even to say it, but that's something that I could not do. So already you can see that when even in the foundations of my becoming a person who is intellectual and all that, my capacity was never fully exposed because of the restrictions that they give, the gender roles that comes with being born with female genitalia or men genitalia.
Oh my God, it seems the lack of information out there means a lot of people, we're excluding a lot of people. It probably means we're not fully tapping into our human capital. And to just wrap this session off, right, there's always this thing, you understand that within the queer community, because people don't really understand different queer identities, right, there's the issue of gender and sexuality. As a trans woman, right, is it possible, do you like women, do you like men, is it possible for you to like women, or what can you try and clarify how your sexuality is affected by your gender identity?
Right, so you find that right from the onset, even from the definition, being trans, it's all about identity. It's not about sexual preference. It's about, are you a man or a woman? And in my case, I am a woman. Now, after that identity, that's where it comes now, maybe sexual preference, like, do you like men or women? And in my case, I feel that I'm a heterosexual female, in that I like men only. But you might find that there are some trans women who also like other women who identify maybe as lesbian, bisexual, or queer. And that's really to each his own, because we are all born and react to each other differently and all unique. So definitely there is an issue of sexuality after identifying yourself as a woman or a man.
Okay, any last words from Andre?
Okay, so I wanted to add on to what Aubrey was saying, that being trans is an issue to do with identity, not sexuality. But I would also want to say that for one who identifies as, say, a trans man, to date another man, it comes with double stigma. Although if it happens, but already you are stigmatized because you're trans, and then you say you're gay, it becomes more burdensome for one.
Sure.
But it happens. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for the enlightening session. I hope to have both of you guys in our future episodes as we continue clarifying exactly what it means to be trans and the implications of being trans in a country like Zimbabwe.
The time is now.
Vuka wena vuka. Wena muntu ongayisi muntu ebantwini. Vuka umele amalungelo akho. Bathi wena wenza into engekho emthethweni. Yipi yakhona? Wabulala umuntu? Cha. Watshontshela umuntu? Cha. Isono sakho ngesani? Ngiza kutshela mina. Isono sami ngesokuba ngumuntu enginguye yena.
Dear diary, the strongest memory that I have is the pain of being rejected and being always alone. I always had to pretend to be someone else just to be accepted. My parents boosted my brother because he was the one playing rugby and doing all things which were right for them. They didn't appreciate that I was creative in a more artistic way. They never encouraged me. June 2017, I woke up in the morning and started doing laundry and went out for clubbing at the evening. Oh, what a good time. It was my first time to go out for clubbing. Muscular guys, tall guys, handsome guys, were staring at me as if they were watching a movie. Then came a handsome guy to me. Surprisingly, he asked me for my preferred pronoun. At first, I thought it was a mockery, but he was serious in the sense that he told me to feel comfortable, to share everything about me. But as a transgender woman, I never felt comfortable talking to someone who looks straight in public. We exchanged numbers and then later turned to chat till we became close and started dating. Over the years, we used to be together. How other people have interacted with us, treated us in particular ways, and what they have said to us has contributed to the way we see ourselves, to our self-concept. Some people have given us lots of good, positive messages, and some have given us negative messages. These were teachers, pastors, colleagues, and even friends. Day by day, I used to think a lot about the relationship that I was in. At first, I thought it was not going to last forever, because the guy I was dating was facing problems at work. Discrimination within the community we used to belong became our daily bread. But he never left me for what he was going through. He told me to stick with my original plan to transitioning, to live like a woman. That means I was supposed to disclose my gender identity at work. By then, I had a good job. I was working as a bank teller. I told my manager that I have a big news. I then started telling him that I was going to start wearing skates and dresses at work because I was a transsexual and I needed to start living my life as a woman. I then later responded, there is no way we can have you here like that. He chased me. That changed me, my life. Though I had a pillar, but still, I feel better about myself and I don't feel like I'm lying anymore. I was going to snap if I waited any longer. I think I would have committed suicide if I had not done so. But I'm still alive. And a tremendous weight has been lifted from me.
My voice.
Your voice.
Our voice.
We are the People Royale Podcast.
Home for the Trans Nation.
Pamsura yamanza diyo. Strangu letu wa mabolo. Drede temburangu nundi. Doza ziri. Sandiri ndoza ndiri. Zvazviri ndozvazviri. Mwari ndiye akandisika ndiri zvandiri. Hazvichinji zvazviri. Handipengi, handirwari, ndozvandiri. Handinyepedzeri, handimanikidziri, ndozvazviri. Mwari ndiye akandisika ndiri zvandiri. Hazvichinji zvazviri. Handingafadzi munhu wese nezvandiri. Handingatarisire kunzwisiswa zvandiri. Mwari ndiye akandisika ndiri zvandiri. Hazvichinji zvazviri. Muviri wechikadzi, mwoyo wechirume. Izwi rechikadzi, pfungwa dzechirume. Mwari ndiye akandisika ndiri zvandiri. Hazvichinji zvazviri. Ndatenda.
Hi listeners, welcome to the dialogue part of our podcast. Joining me today is a trans woman, a trans man, and a few of our allies. I'll just let them do brief introductions of themselves and who they are.
Hello viewers, thank you so much to the Paper Royale podcast team for inviting me here. My name is Aubrey Alessandra B. Chacha, a trans woman based in Harare, Zimbabwe.
Hi everyone, my name is Ms. Bonzo and I'm the director of an organization working with the transgender community in Zimbabwe called Transmat Trust. Welcome to the program.
Hi everyone, my name is Mrs. Kudzewe, I'm Kim's mother, who is a transgender, and I'm very proud of him. Welcome everyone to the program.
Hi everyone, I'm Sister Mahati. I work as a nursing sister within the community and I help some of the transgender community.
Hi everyone, my name is Mnesu, a trans man who is based in Harare, Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much for joining us and being so comfortable in sharing your lived experiences. So today's conversation is centered around why it's important to have allies outside the community, especially with our parents. You know, most people have a problem coming out to their parents, and conversation that we're having today is focused on why allyship is important and why acceptance from families is important. So we can have anyone to...
Sure. So you find that as a trans woman, I've noticed that without allies, we tend to live in a vacuum, in an isolated world. And that really has a lot of repercussions in that we end up maybe abusing ourselves, using drugs, sometimes into sex work, sometimes into extreme isolation, which may even cause suicide. So it is really important for my family, for my community, for my healthcare providers and any stakeholders to be responsive to trans issues and to treat us as important just as any human being.
Oh, thank you so much, Aubrey, for that. And I'll move on to King's mom. You're very supportive, and like you said, you really love your son. So could you share your experiences, what you felt when your son first came out to you that he is trans, and what were your initially, did you just accept him from the get-go, or there were problems in the beginning? Could you please share the story?
First, when Kim came up with his story that's how he is, at first, when he was growing up, I noticed that he was quite different from the other kids. Mm-hmm. Because mostly if he would play with the male children, they would chase him away saying, no, you are a girl, go and play with girls. And mostly he himself was also interested in playing with girls. So I noticed that when he was growing up, and I started coming up with questions. So I had to do a lot of research on what is actually happening on my my kid. Mm-hmm. Then when he was around 17 somewhere there, he became open to me. He told me, Mom, I need to share something with you. Mm-hmm. First, I went through his diary. That's where I saw everything. Then I confronted him. I said, what's going on? Then he became open. I said, no, you mustn't hide anything from me. Mm-hmm. You should share so that you won't be open to abusive, to drugs or to committing suicide or to negligence or stigma from other people. As your mother, I accept you for who you are, and I'll never turn my back on you. I'll support you all the way.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And like, parents like you are essential in society. So, Mama, you make Bonzo, you work a lot with the trans community. What would you possibly share with, like, you know, like Aubrey said, they face a lot of stigma, there's so much discrimination, and the lack of acceptance just leads to so much.
Okay, so for me, maybe what drove me to come back to Zimbabwe and start working with the trans community in Zimbabwe is actually my partner is a trans woman from India, and we just got married last year. So when I came back to Zimbabwe, I was really interested because in India I was staying within the trans community, and we did a lot of work within the trans community in India, like making sure that some of them got some jobs in government institutes. And I really wanted to see how we can also help and how we can make the trans community come out. Because mostly when I was here, I didn't hear much about the transgender community. It was only the LGB and all that. So when I came and I started talking to some trans women, the other one is now in the UK, Tiara, and then I met Kim. I think when I came back to Zimbabwe, the first people that I met was Kim and Tiara and B. Polan. So after sitting down, I think we started meeting when we were only five, and then we kept growing. People were like coming out to say, I heard you are talking about the trans issues in Zimbabwe. Some of them would say, we are not sure where we belong. We are like, okay, we are used to be like in the gay community, and some would say we are used to be in the lesbian community. But from the way you are talking, I really now like really know where I belong. I feel like I'm a transgender. So we started looking for information, and then we started sharing the information. And then someone from the National AIDS Council then said, you guys, I think we have a lot of information on transgender. Why don't you just come up together and start an organization where you can actually now share some experiences and some information so that even the health sector, the government, and other families who really don't know who their child is can also learn from you guys. So I think that is when we started Transmat Trust. And it took us about 6 months to register as a trust, because there were a lot of backlash. Were like, you could send your trust deed and then it would come back and they would say, can you remove this? But for us, we didn't want to remove anything because our vision, our mission and our objectives were specifically looking at the transgender issues in Zimbabwe. So as much as the government didn't want to hear about the LGBT issues, we refused to change our constitution, until finally we got help from about five lawyers, and then our trust deed was finally out in July.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's like a long journey, but thank you so much for what you did for the trans community. And Munesu, could you please tell us more about what have you come, like, firstly, you could maybe explain if you've come out to your family, what type of problems you have faced after coming out. But if you haven't come out to your family, you could like briefly explain why you're waiting and what could be the major challenges.
Okay, so as for me, my mom is a pastor. So we've been having, you know, issues like she's been telling me, you know, you can't be dressing like this. You're a pastor's kid. You can't go to church like this. What are other people going to say about you as a pastor's kid? So, you know, it's just that one of the days, someone outed me to my mom, but then we didn't talk about it. And then she's been going through my stuff. Like, I've been missing a lot of stuff from my room, my diaries and stuff. So now the thing is, I've been seeking help from other people who have come out to their parents. Mm-hmm. And I've asked them, guys, how did you do it? And I've been looking at other things like, okay, if I'm to come out to my parents now, you know, I still need free food, guys. Mm. I still need free education. I need to get them, you know, doing stuff for me. So as for me, I haven't come out to my parents, and I'm hoping that one of those days I'll just do it to them. And I hope that everything will go well. She'll just accept me for who I am.
Yeah, and you find, Munyasu, what I've noticed is, maybe even Kim's mom can even relate, that as trans persons, it's really, at times, in fact, in most cases, evident of the gender we identify with. Because looking at you, Munyasu, I mean, you're a man.
Mm.
Yes, you could have been born with, say, female genitalia, but the way you look, your body structure, how handsome you look, you are literally a guy. And that's the same which I noticed with Kim, whereby looking at her, she is female. She looks female. She is beautiful when she catwalks and how she just relates. And you find that this is something which we have not thrown on ourselves, but this is how we were born. And so society can definitely identify a trans person. The only issues which I've noticed is how society can come to accept us as any human being. Because definitely we are around, definitely we are visible, and it's high time society also acknowledges us, because stigmatizing us is also going to make them lose out on the love and the value they could benefit from working with us.
True. Thank you so much. Sister, you work with the trans community, you interact a lot with trans people. And like you keep hearing, the problem is acceptance. People can clearly see, even Kim's mom was saying that even from when she was still young, you could tell that like there's something different about my child. But people still refuse to accept. What possibly could you try, like how could you try and possibly explain it to them so that it becomes easier for them to accept?
I think within the health sector, we just need sensitization.
Mm-hmm.
And because accepting you as a community, it's not our problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we are being sensitized that you are human beings, and we have to treat even on our nurse's pledge.
Mm-hmm.
We treat anyone regardless of gender, health, sex.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do as we do our nurse's pledge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be easy, but it will take some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to sensitize everyone that we are now treating this trans community as they are, and we must accept them as they are,
okay, and
don't stigmatize them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've noticed we have
a few workshops and sensitize everyone within the health sector.
That's going to be amazing.
I hope really, what are your opinions on, like, will sensitization really be effective? Because you find with most people, they hide behind my religion. So I'd assume that most of those nurses would be Christian. So how then are they able to balance it out, their Christianity and the education that they're getting from these workshops on that the fact that trans people are also human and also deserve
Okay. I think they are going to accept them as they are, since we don't include the Christian community when dealing with our patients.
Mm-hmm.
We just treat them as they are,
and
because it's a vulnerable group.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be attended to.
True.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you
you so much, sister. To wrap up the session, or just to have like a word of advice from Kim's mother as a parent of a trans person.
My word of advice is, I think we are leaving one important institution when accepting this community,
mm-hmm.
the education sector, because that's where our kids spend most of their time,
mm-hmm.
from early age up until
mm-hmm.
they are mature. So I think we need to involve them, because you find the teacher might be so stigmatizing that kid,
mm-hmm.
or trying to make him or her avoid where his or her interests lie,
mm-hmm.
as a transgender person. So I think the teachers, the education institution,
mm-hmm.
must also be incorporated, so that they come to accept the transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for those wise words, Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, listeners, for joining us. I hope you were able to learn a bit more about why allyship is important, and why acceptance and tolerance and genuine love for everyone, like, we should all love each other regardless of how we choose to identify. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I can still hear voice in the background. Let them talk, Manango. It was just being you. My mom, she was the pillar of strength. You know, she would come to my room and we would talk hours down. How I miss you those days. I remember the first time she sat me down to ask me what was going on with me. She came into my room as I was writing a letter to my first girlfriend. Oh gosh, how had a crush on that girl. I was 16 and she was 14. She was slim and dumb. Did he have a killer smile? As I was sitting there thinking of what she read, she walked in breeze. The time I called me by my real name. Oh, how it my real name. Each time they say it, it feels like intending right in next to those Roman Catholic bells. Bang, bang, bang is all I hear when that name is mentioned. Ukwite mwanangu. She asked it. Nothing, mom. Just doing a little study, that's all. What she didn't know was that in that maths textbook was a paper waiting to be filled with love words, songs, and poems. I was chased. I know. So afterwards, I went down for a dinner, and she has cooked my favorite food. Oh, how I miss that woman. There is nothing She didn't know about me. Yeah, they do say mothers always know girls. Mwah, I miss you, mom.
The time is now.
My voice.
Your voice.
Our voice.
We are the Purple Royale Podcast.
Home for the trans nation.
Thank you so much, guys, for joining us for the first ever episode of Purple Royale. Do join us next time. Just a quick recap of some of the terms that I think are key and will help you throughout to understand all other episodes. The first one being an AFAB. An AFAB is someone who was assigned female at birth, someone whose genitalia is female, but they don't really self-identify as female. And then an AMAB, which is assigned male at birth, is a person who was assigned male genitalia at their birth, but everything else, their mentality, their psychology, everything else is female. And then sex is the biological makeup of a person. That is when we talk about organs such as the penis and the vagina. And then gender is a whole different thing. It's a social construct where we now have female and male, etc. And then sexuality is someone's sexual preference. At the end of the day, I think once we get to understand all of those terms, it becomes easier for us to be able to understand the journey that we'll be taking you through as the trans nation from Purple Royale Podcast. Join us next time.
Yay!
you, Lucy.